do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-8255. That's 907-458-TALK. And with me, barely rushing in.
Zoom.
At the last moment, incredible entrance. I must say, Fairbanks, if you would have saw this, you would have been impressed like I am. It's Jennifer Uhas. How are you doing, Jennifer?
Fantastic.
Thank you for making it. I gave you, not much notice. Thank you very much for being able to get down here within a few days, and plan your strategy.
But to be fair, you gave me a few days. It isn't like you gave me 5 minutes, so that's on me.
That's true. So what were you doing that brought you in at like 11:05 and 30 seconds.
Well, thank you for asking. I just got back from the Carlson Center, where there's a flurry of borough staff and volunteers setting up for the Alaska Outdoor Council banquet tomorrow night.
Wow.
And Caleb Martin was going to be joining us. He's our executive director and his first vice president on the board, but he's got a big problem down there. There's way too many prizes, way too many guns, way too many deals. And he's got to set them all up for tomorrow night.
That sounds like a tough aspect problem to have. And, oh, my goodness.
There's only a few tickets left. So if people are trying to go to that banquet tomorrow night, they can get online, AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.org. Might be able to sweep up one of the last couple of tickets, but this is one of the biggest returning banquets to Fairbanks. We used to always pack 500 people over at Monroe, and we just had 850 down in Palmer for the fall banquet. Yep.
Wow. That...
So we're bringing some economic development back to Fairbanks and good deals for everybody who's got some spring cabin fever. If you've been cooped up with the 50 below and finally got your chores done, finally got your roof shoveled off, come on out tomorrow night and join us at the Carlson Center.
Tell us about the Alaska Outdoor Council. Let's start there.
So the Alaska Outdoor Council is the state's largest umbrella organization for outdoors groups. Some people call them sportsmen, but a lot of us harvest for food and consider that subsistence, also recreating. So hunt, fish, trap, bicycle, trails, easements, access, RS-2477s. Alaska Outdoor Council has been there since 1953, just pre-statehood, protecting our rights as Alaskans to get out and enjoy the great outdoors and to harvest and recreate.
You're always on the forefront of an issue in representation for rights. You do a great job at it. How would a listener want to get in touch with you who would want to get involved in something or get more information?
If they wanted to get more information about the issues that Alaska Outdoor Council specifically, you hold different titles with different groups, is advocating for, they can go to AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.org. We have an executive director who does our fundraising and several of our issues management, and we also have a policy director. Many people know Rod Arno. And we have a very active board with a president from Delta Junction, from Delta Waterfowl. I'm the first vice president for Interior. Carl Nelson is second vice president for MATSU, South Central area. And we've got a fellow who's the vice president for Southeast and a few more board members who are constantly monitoring our issues and weighing in as to what little tweaks in legislation or regulation. Next week, the Board of Game will be here in Fairbanks. They'll be having their meetings over at Pike's Waterfront Lodge. And next weekend's big banquet, already sold out, though. Can't get tickets for the Alaska Trappers Association. That'll be at the Westmark next week. But the Board of Game will be here deciding issues that regulate our hunting and trapping seasons, bag limits, methods and means, whether you can use a rifle, you have to use a muzzleloader, whether you're allowed to trap in certain areas. They'll be holding that meeting next week over at Pike's Waterfront Lodge, and the public is invited to testify. You can go to the Alaska Board of Game webpage, and you can see what proposals are up for debate. You can listen to it online, and if you're really hot and bothered and need to go express yourself, you can go right down there, just like they do at your city council meetings, just like we do at the borough and the school board.
Public comment time.
Public comment time.
If you have 800-plus coming to tomorrow night's banquet.
Well, we expect about a little over 500 at this one. We had 850 in Mat-Su in October.
How many members do you have?
I would have to ask Caleb, and like I said, he's busy setting up prizes.
Yeah,
when I was executive director in 2003, 4, and 5, we had a statewide membership of about 4,800 members with an affiliate membership, because remember, they've got 40-some-odd outdoor clubs who are members under their umbrella, so their affiliate membership was over 10,000.
So your reach goes far into a lot of different groups with a lot of different thoughts. I mean, it's grassroots from bottom to the up to the top.
And we need all of those member clubs and all of those interests to funnel things up to a hub, which we have in our policy director. Tomorrow night's banquet is co-hosted by the Alaska Gun Collectors Association. We've got Jeremy from 907 Surplus collected all of our donations over at his little warehouse there and has helped us with the setup, helped us selling tickets. But the Alaska Outdoor Council actually represents the rights of all Alaskans. When I was executive director, I would spend time as a regulatory geek going through what we call the National Park Service Compendia. Only geeks really know about this, David. So,
I'm going to believe you on that.
Okay. Each year, the Park Service would publish a compendia, which was a whole bunch of regulations they had just decided to pencil whip by a mid-level manager. Mm-hmm. Not something that had thorough debate and thorough rulemaking. And so they would get away with this because it would only last a year. It was developed so that they could make an in-field decision that was necessary. But what we found over a number of years was that certain parks managers, Denali Park for one, used to just make a rule each year that could only go for a year and curtail our rights. And so while I was executive director, I had called up the backcountry bicycling people and said, hey, you should read this compendia. They're trying to say you can't ride your bicycle within 2 miles of the visitor center in case you run over someone who got off a tour bus. And their policy states clearly they can't limit access without a documented user conflict, so they have to go do a study. They can't just decide they don't want you riding your bicycle.
Yeah, people have been run over by a bicycle.
Show me that before you say they can't ride their bicycle. None of the backcountry bicyclists want to ride on a crowded trail with a bunch of people that just got off the tour bus. They're probably going to park the thing and walk up to the visitor center too, but it was an unnecessary rule. So I called up and tipped them off, and they said, well, you guys just represent motorized users. I said, no. Read our mission statement. That's why I'm calling you. There's nothing nefarious here. I'm just tipping you off. There's a public comment period. Use it or don't. Would you like us to also comment that this is unfair?
And what you're doing, every year we see this one. Yeah. Okay. Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We live stream at kfarradio.com. If you have a question or you want to call in here, I have Jennifer Uhouse in the studio with me. We're at 458-TALK. 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We're talking men's health with Dr. Tony Nima from Fairbanks Urology.
Some guys are unlucky that they end up in a situation where their bladder won't empty without a catheter. That's because the prostate is blocking the bladder. There are warning signs that this might end up happening, like slow stream, frequency, urgency, and getting up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. And we do have non-invasive procedures to help avoid that situation.
Fairbanks Urology, now in their beautiful new location, along with Fairbanks Clinic at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney.
It's almost time for the 78th running of the Open North American Sled Dog Championships. This premier event draws dog teams from all over the world. The action happens March 15th through the 17th, with teams starting and finishing at the Mushers Hall on Farmers Loop Road. Special thanks goes out to Cold Spot Feeds, Lola Bug Creations, the Great Alaska Bowl Company, and Tailored Restoration. Get ready for the fastest dog race you'll ever see.
We mean cars. That's right. We need up to 150 quality used vehicles to fill our lots, and we'll pay you top dollar. Why trade that clean used car to a dealer or go through the hassle of selling it yourself? Just stop into Affordable Used Cars. You'll get a quick 10-minute appraisal on your vehicle. It's that easy. Plus, at Affordable Used Cars, our sales staff will make sure you always get a hassle-free experience. Remember, nobody beats an affordable deal. Nobody.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for snow showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 14. West winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight. Slight chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 5 below. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through Sunday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jennifer Uhouse with the Alaska Outdoor Council in the studio here with me. They're having a very big event yet tomorrow on March 9th at the Carlson Center, their Alaska Outdoor Council get-together.
Annual interior banquet, returning to the interior after many, many years.
I'm looking at the prizes you have here, and your grand prize, the Can-Am. Tell us about that.
Oh, boy. You would ask me that. It's a really fancy-looking four-wheeler. I didn't procure it.
With a winch on the front, you have over $20,000 in door prizes.
We
alone.
Do. Thanks to Caleb Martin and the Alaska Gun Collectors, Jeremy, for securing these. We got a several Mossbergs. We got the Patriot 30-06. We got the Shockwave 20 gauge. We got some Remingtons. We got some, my favorite brand, Ruger. We got 270, 708. 708, if people didn't know, is what Karamojo used to hunt elephants in Africa. Pretty good article by Craig Bodington, if you ever want to read it.
Karamojo Bell. Mm-hmm. He was a 270. Yeah, have you ever read his book, Bell of Africa?
I have not.
Oh, man.
I'm going to write this down.
Yeah, he, boy. Bell of Africa, it just is his story, and, you know, the straight, flat brain shot that he would use on the big bull African elephant, and he perfected it with a 270.
And then he shot a 708.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
So Craig Bodington wrote an article back in the 90s when I was deciding on what to get. You know, I was 20 and needed a fairly all-around. There's really no real all-around, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up getting a 7mm Rem Mag after reading some of the articles by Craig Bodington on the 7s. And, you know, I'll often get in a room with some of the fellows, oh, I wouldn't shoot anything smaller than the 300 series. And they say, well, if you understand terminal velocity and sectional density, you'll get over your emotional need for foot-pounds.
I shoot a 300 Weatherby, and what I like about it is I can, you know, shoot a 150 grain to a 220 grain factory loads, and, you know, and I got my buddy who loads them for me, so.
Always nice to know a reloader and trade favors.
Yes. Yeah, I've known him since I was 6 years old, and I grew up next to him, and last time when sheep hunting this last fall, I went with him.
And were you successful?
No, but, you know, I put a great stock on a ram, and if it would have been legal, I could have taken him.
Right.
And that was the most incredible feeling I had. Putting a stock on for 6 hours, getting within a quarter mile, knowing I could get within 200 yards using the elevations, the wind was in my favor, and you know, I could take anything from 300 yards out. And I knew I could get within 200 yards, and I was about a quarter mile away, and I got my spotting scope on it on a good view, three quarter base curl, probably about 6 years old sheep, not old enough, and I barely legal
jail bait.
I was fine. I was good. I stalked an animal. I could have taken it, and I said no. So.
That's happening too often when we go up to the Brooks Range. We even tried the White Mountains for a while and spent, mm-hmm. A week looking at a group of six rams. And, you're thinking, you're laying there for hours. You're right on them. Yep. Just turn your head.
Come on. Just do it. Just give me that view. And he did. And it was three-quarter curl. And I was in a full curl area. And
now, did you have a group or just the one?
Three.
Okay.
And this was the biggest one out of them. And it was the only sheep we saw. But it's all I needed. I could have hunted more, but I was satisfied. It was all that I needed.
Now, I'm not going to ask you exactly where, but just what general area.
I was in the Wrangles.
In the Wrangles.
Yeah, I was down off the Toke Cutoff in that area, the Mintasta Wrangle area.
Now, sheep hunting is my favorite. A lot of people like moose hunting or mm-hmm. caribou or love to go down to Prince of Wales for whitetail. But I love sitting way up high in the quiet with so much to see.
Jennifer, I feel the same way. It's what I hunt. It's really the one hunt that gets me excited, the one hunt that I crave, the one hunt, no matter what happens, August 10th is opening day of sheep hunting season.
They're tired of me reminding people of that when we're setting calendar dates, whether it's for the day job or clients. They say, well, what about this date? Say, well, that's, opening week for sheep guys. Yeah. I'm like, well, there's always next year. I said, no, I said that for 13 years. I'm not saying that anymore.
And my second favorite gun, and I've taken it many times, is a Remington 7mm.
Yeah.
I mean, flat shooting. I can put a group at 300 yards, take your index finger and your thumb and just about close it. And
now, what brand do you have?
Remington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's a 20-year-old gun. Mm-hmm. But a good gun never goes out of service. And when you know it, you know it. And, fiberglass stock.
Yeah, I've got the stainless in Zytel.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful gun, and it's flat shooting, great trajectory. If you know your gun, you know your gun. So, and you've got some really nice guns.
Yeah, we've got the sidearms, rifles.
Yeah.
Shotgun. We got trap. We got wingbird.
I've never seen a Canik TP9 9mm. I've never seen one of those.
You could win one if you went to the banquet tomorrow. So could your listeners.
David, you said a stupid statement there, David.
You know Jennifer better Cotton, than that. Jennifer when you Cotton, invite you, me here, you know
I,
that.
I know.
I'm going to stay on message.
I was still excited about sheep hunting. You had me at a weak moment mentally. Okay, I'm back. My goodness. How do the people get tickets if they want to go?
So they can go to AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.com. And they can purchase online.
Okay.
There's probably not going to be tickets at the door. And I'm actually glad that you brought that up. Fairbanks is not real good on the RSVPs. And the first
no,
year...
No, we're not.
The first year...
it's in our DNA.
It's a Fairbanks thing.
Yeah.
And when I moved up here in 2002 and worked on one of the house races and then took the job with the Alaska Outdoor Council in 2003, did my first banquet. We had a whole banquet committee, and Dick and Mary Bishop had binders for everybody that had a subcommittee. They had a dishwashing subcommittee, and everybody's got a binder. It was all very organized, and I kept saying...
Sounds like Mary.
I kept saying, guys, we're going to have to reorder the food. We don't have enough RSVPs. And they said, no, everybody will be there. I said, I've got 115 responses or whatever it was for a 500-person banquet. We're going to have too much food. They said, no, people will show up. Lo and behold, they did. We were packed at 500 people over in Monroe like we used to do. We actually are almost sold out for tomorrow.
Wow. That's great.
So don't show up at the door thinking you'll get in like previous years.
What does this help you fund, this event?
Thank you. It helps us fund not only advocacy, but the Alaska Outdoor Council supports the Wounded Warriors Program. Mm-hmm. We support the Hunter Safety Ed, Becoming an Outdoors Woman, which includes kids and youth Alaskans afield. So intro to hunting classes, beyond bow, taking folks out for some big game. You can see a list of all of our programs at Alaska Outdoor Council website.
And that's AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.com.
The email is .com. The website is .org.
Okay.
I may have misspoken previously. We changed things around this last year. All of our emails changed as well.
And who got you this beautiful Can-Am?
I'm going to have to ask Caleb because we wanted to get it from Compo because he's local, but he didn't have the stock because his business is doing too well.
His business is always doing too well. And hold it. Craig Compo, I know you're listening, and it's been 26 minutes into this that we finally gave you a business plug. Okay. And so Fairbanks, if you want a Can-Am to buy one, you better go get one real fast down at Compo's, right on the price, right on the river. How's that, Craig?
Well, this one was donated by Team CCC Skidoo.
Yeah.
So, but we've got a 2023 Can-Am Outlander 500. And like you said, it's got a winch on it, all the racks. It's pretty spiffy.
Yeah. You know, that's probably about a $15,000 to $20,000 item right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was donated.
I think it was at cost, it was around 17. Yeah. And if folks want to get in on the drawings, they can also go to AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.org and they can purchase the raffle tickets without having to go to the banquet tomorrow, can't make it.
I've always, what really impresses me about the Alaska Outdoor Council, it's that umbrella organization for all. You know, you have the Laundry House Gang, that members of it. You have Al, that's on the Board of Game. You have so many incredible members that also do other things and work well with your organization. It's just a very amazing group.
Well, it was first founded pre-statehood, like I said before, by the three major outdoor umbrella groups from the three regions: Territorial Sportsmen's Incorporated down in Juneau, Matsu Sportsmen in South Central, and Tenino Valley Sportsmen's Association here in Fairbanks. And so the three of them came together to make an umbrella organization for all of the member clubs. And I'm going to try and go here to the website so I could read off all of our member clubs if you want to babble and fill
some
air.
Certainly. Yeah. Appreciate the snow plowing efforts that hopefully we don't have to do anymore this year. We're still removing snow hard pack from the streets, but last night was our last night of our second shift, our temporary hire, and they would do the evening snow plowing, and last night was her last night, so it's just daytime snow plowing and snowpack hard pack removal. How is that for babbling as mayor?
Well, good to know. We get a little city update there.
Yeah.
If you'd like, I can read through our member clubs.
Why don't we do it when we get back?
Okay.
We're going to be taking a break here in about a minute, and that would be good. But you're almost out of tickets. How many do you have total for tomorrow night?
They've been selling a few while I've been here, so I'd have to ask. I know that two tables just sold while I was here. And so they're getting pretty close to the limit. But folks can go to AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.org. And when we come back, what number can they call, David?
907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And that's our number here. Goodness. How long do you have to work to get to tomorrow night? I mean, when do you start on your planning?
Oh, Caleb started 6 months ago as soon as we were done with the other banquet.
It's continuous. Yeah. There's no finish line.
No, he and Jeremy, that's his
that's what he does.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a break here. You're going to get some police, so that's obviously from Glenner. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, then some weather. And we'll be back after this.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Last night, President Biden, he accused Republicans of playing politics with border security, said they listened to former President Trump, walked away from a bipartisan bill proposed in the Senate. House Speaker Mike Johnson on the Fox News Channel explains the president should instead put a House border security bill into law.
That bill did not solve the problem, and everybody knows it. We passed H.R. 2, our now famous bill, 10 months ago, and it had five separate important provisions, and they all work together. You have to fix the asylum problem, the broken parole system. You got to reinstate Remain in Mexico.
H.R. 2 had no Democratic support. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries spoke to reporters about the speech from last night.
Yeah, President Biden laid out a comprehensive vision for fixing our broken immigration system and addressing the challenges at the border.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Iditarod officials on Wednesday imposed a two-hour time penalty on Musher Dallas CV for not properly gutting the moose he killed during the race earlier this week. Race Marshal Warren Palfrey convened a three-person panel of race officials to investigate the circumstances surrounding the death of the moose, which became tangled up with CV and his dog team early Monday, about 12 hours after the days-long race officially started. One dog was injured in the encounter and flown back to Anchorage for care. If a musher kills a big-game animal like a moose, caribou, or buffalo in defense of life or property during the race, rules require they gut the animal and report it to officials at the next checkpoint. According to the panel's findings, CV spent about 10 minutes at the kill site and then mushed his dog team about 11 miles before camping on a three-hour layover. "I gutted it the best I could, but it was ugly," CV had said. A statement from the Iditarod said it had been determined that the animal was not sufficiently gutted by the musher. Officials said the two-hour penalty will be added to CV's mandatory 24-hour layover.
Live online at KFAR660.com.
This Saturday, March 9th, at the Davis Concert Hall, the Fairbanks Concert Association presents Damn Tall Buildings. Engaging. Damn Tall Buildings' energizing music finds beauty and glory in the mundane workaday struggle of everyday life. Whether sharing lead vocals and instrumental solos or blending their voices into high-spirited harmony, Damn Tall Buildings is a tight unit that contains more than the sum of its parts. Bluegrass at heart, but pulling from a wide range of influences, including swing, ragtime, jazz, and even a hint of contemporary perspective. Get your tickets for Damn Tall Buildings today at FairbanksConcert.org.
What are you doing?
I'm doing the Six Robleys jingle.
Dude, no. Stop doing that. Leave it to the pros.
Oh, you mean the pros at Six Robleys? Because when it comes to trailer parts and heavy truck parts, even RV parts, Six Robleys are the pros.
Well, I was talking about the singing, but yeah, sure.
Well, it does make more sense. Six Robleys, we keep the wheels turning. I thought I did pretty good.
There are two things you can count on this winter. One, it's going to be cold. Two, when you need to warm up, Toyotomi Laser Direct Vent Heaters can provide the heat. With multiple options to choose from, a Laser Direct Vent Heater can often heat an entire home. But more importantly, they are the most fuel-efficient oil heaters available, using up to 50% less fuel for heating comparable size areas. Because of this, it pays for itself in fuel savings in just a few years. You can count on Toyotomi Stoves. Call Total Toyo at 488-9179.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks, in here with Jennifer Uhouse. Jennifer, we were going to talk about some of the umbrella organizations, but before we do that,
yeah,
I want to talk about my favorite mushing group.
Robinson Racing Kennel.
How are they doing?
So they're doing great. You know, Wally drew the last bib. So you had the kids in here. You had Emily, three-time junior Iditarod champion, and her brother, Stanley.
The up-and-comer now.
You asked if he wanted to pass his sister, and a week later he'd passed her in a race.
There's a family feud going on now.
And then Wally got the chance. There's been a few articles articles about it in the paper, but he got the chance to run someone else's team, thinking he would have to wait a few years to get back into the Iditarod, but he's running. He drew bib 39, so he was the last to leave the start, but he was the eighth into the first checkpoint. Okay. Then he was in 11th place a little further on. I haven't gone to the website today to check what they're doing, but Robinson Racing Kennel on Facebook is giving updates every day, doing a meet the athletes with an interview with the dogs, telling you about each one of the dogs.
Yeah, and dogs are athletes. I mean, they're at the top of their pecking order as an athlete of the canine breed. I mean, man.
And he's running, think about this, he's doing that well, and he's running a mismatched team of athletes. You think about the folks that watch professional sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
A football team that just got put together, yeah. Or a baseball team, basketball that just got put together, and then you send them to the playoffs. I mean, that's what's happening. He's got some of his dogs, and then a team where the musher wasn't going to be able to compete. These dogs just met each other, and he's in 8th or 11th place right now.
Out of 39. How many teams have dropped out? Do you know that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know there was one. I don't know how many. We'd have to go to the website to check.
Okay. Anyway, back to our groups.
Yeah. So we're talking about the member clubs that make up the Alaska Outdoor Council, how we had the three regional clubs start in 1953,
mm-hmm.
Formed the Alaska Outdoor Council. I'm going to read off who we've got. So for the interior, we have the Alaska Interior Marksmanship Committee. Hi, Glenn Miller. We all know him. 40 Mile Mining Association, Golden North Archery, Chitna Dipnetters Association. You know Chuck, Derek, and Paul. Interior Airboaters Association. Clear Sky Sportsman's Club, Delta Sportsman's Association, that's where our president comes from, Rob. Interior Trail Riders Association, Fairbanks Retrievers Club, woof out there to Barbara Adams, Slana Alaskans Unite, Tanana Valley Rifle and Pistol Club, Fairbanks Snow Travelers Association, Tanana Valley Sportsman's Association, we talked about, Fairbanks Trap Club, Toke Shooters Association. In South Central, we have Alaska Backcountry Adventure Tours, Anchorage Snowmobile Club, Alaska Charter Association, Cook Inlet Archers, Cook Inlet Sport Fishing Caucus, Fairbanks, Alaska Interior Trappers Association, Houston Chamber of Commerce, Alaska Gun Collectors Association. Thank you guys for helping us put on this banquet this weekend. Kodiak Island Sportsmen's Association, Alaska Machine Gun Association, Matanuska Valley Sportsmen's Association, another one of our three founding member clubs, Alaska Marine Dealers Association, Matsu Anglers, Alaska Moose Federation, McKinley Mountain Muzzle Loading Rifle Club, I'm only about halfway done, Alaska Motor Mushers, Personal Watercraft Club, Alaska Outdoor Access Alliance, Rough Grouse Society, Safari Club International, Professional Hunters, Safari Club International Kenai, Alaska Rifle Club, Snow Mads, Alaska Snow Machine Alliance, Alaska State Snowmobile Association, Sportsmen's for Fish and Wildlife, Alaska Waterfowl Association, and Alaska Wild Sheep Foundation. We still have to get through Southeast. Sitka Charter Boats, Juneau Shooting Club, Juneau Gun Club, Sitka Sportsmen's, Juneau Rifle Club, and Territorial Sportsmen's Inc. are third of our founding member clubs.
So basically, the only group you don't cover is polar bear hunters.
Which is under the Marine Mammal Act and
Society's
not something
we
do with
I know.
State regulations.
Boy.
And if folks want to comment on state regulations, they can attend the Alaska Board of Game meeting next week. There's also an open public comment period online right now. The Federal Subsistence Board is trying to add some positions, which in the thoughts of Alaska Outdoor Council and some others would mm-hmm. dilute some of the ability for people to comment. And so go to the Federal Subsistence Board webpage, see what they have open for comment. They are changing the composition of the board, and they also have some possible regulations that may restrict, or if you want to comment, to open up your hunting opportunities and trapping.
Put in your ticket. You put in your application to get drawn. When was the drawings? When were your drawings with the state of Alaska, say for sheep, buffalo? When were those due?
Those were due, I think it was December 15th.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to check. But they should be coming out soon.
I remember for about 8 years I'd put in drawings every year, and I never got drawn. I said, you know, I'm just tired of giving the state $20 per application.
David, you know my soundbite on this. We're all winners when we're contributing to conservation. The money that you use for that ticket, when you buy a hunting and fishing license, when you buy ammo, that's the money that we fund our departments with.
I know that. But, you know, I do other things. But it just, like, there was no even close, it seemed like. And I said, you know, I'm done making these, trying to get these. I'm just going to go to locations where I can get into and do it myself.
Well, you know, you have another bite at the apple for the Alaska Super 7. So the Alaska mm-hmm. Outdoor Council, Outdoor Heritage Foundation, Wild Sheep, several of the other clubs, seven of them, we get together and pool our governor's tags. And so for a mere $20, you can put in for another bite at the apple for some of those special areas that you didn't get drawn from the state.
I'm okay with that.
You're not helping me sell tickets here, man.
But actually, I am. I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing it up.
All of you who are listening, you have a better chance at getting your draw tag because David's not putting in anymore.
That's right. I encourage you to do it. And I was always going to locations if I wanted to go sheep hunting or whatever. And then I looked at it, I go, I really don't need a buffalo.
You could share with your friends.
Yeah.
We need to have somebody from the Bison Working Group on here about the reintroduction of the buffalo.
A good friend of mine, he got drawn. He went down and got his buffalo, and he did had to do with the economic impact of what he spent and going down there and mm-hmm. doing it. Mm-hmm. And basically, the economic impact was buying a cup of coffee in Delta. That was it. You know, he went down there. He didn't stay there. He didn't hire anyone.
He's a resident. Right.
He's resident of Fairbanks.
Yeah.
But his economic impact was a cup of coffee. He chuckled about it, but, you know, is this even worth the paper? You know, this is, you know, on. But he went and got his buffalo, so anyway. It's one of those things.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have the bison guys on here to talk about what's happening with the herd down there and with the reintroduction and the difference between the wood bison and the plains bison, which are down in Delta.
How is that herd doing in Delta?
Hasn't been doing great. Had a couple of real hard winters, and there's been a lot of controversy.
What's the controversy?
I'm going to save that for a different show and let someone else do the commenting.
Okay. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458 Talk. 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Ice fishing is great winter fun if you're prepared. Before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need. Rods to tackle to ice augers. At Frontier Outfitters, you'll also find the right winter clothing. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. ATV and snow machine accessories are just downstairs in Century Hardware. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan livestock.
Wintertime is always awesome at Ivory Jack's. Whether you ski up, arrive on dog sled, or snow machine, you're always welcome at Ivory Jack's with great weekend breakfasts with mimosas or their famous Bloody Marys. How about the perfect lunch or maybe a nice steak dinner? Swing out on the weekends to Ivory Jack's for live nightly entertainment. And there's always a game on the big screens. Plus free parking, always at Ivory Jack's. Whether it's your car, snow machine, or dog sled, Ivory Jack's in the heart of the beautiful Goldstream Valley.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Wow, your
dog is really well behaved.
Thanks. We took classes at the Alaska Canine Center on Badger Road. It was a game changer for us.
I can tell.
Awesome instructors, classes available 7 days a week, and they offer grooming, a self-wash station, and I even get our pet food there. So they carry Dynamite brand cat and dog food as well.
That sounds awesome. As you can tell, I could use some help, and so could Rex here. Down, boy, down.
They got great rates, both personal and group classes available. Remember, it's the Alaska Canine Center off Badger Road. Find out more online at AlaskaCanineCenter.com.
KFAR Weather.
Slight chance for snow showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 14. Westerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Slight chance of snow showers. Lows dip down to about 5 below. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through Sunday night. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We are in the studio here with Jennifer Uhouse. I appreciate you trying to get Caleb for us, but he's busy.
He's big down there tomorrow. Working like a beaver.
Now, you got some really nice prizes.
We got guns, we got machines, we got fur coats, we got hunts, we got meals, we got stuff.
And all the money goes to the Alaska Outdoor Council to fund what you do.
Correct.
Which is incredible representation for all the different user groups. Boy.
So there's representation.
Did you even get through Southeast?
I did. Okay. I did.
So basically, the only group that you don't really do is polar bear hunters, because you don't get to do that up here. That's in the CITES treaty.
Yeah, we don't have a polar bear club as one of our member clubs. But we talked a lot about the advocacy, but can we talk about the education programs?
Certainly.
So there's a lot of people listening who maybe they aren't, you know, already a big hunter outdoors person, but they'd like to be. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'd like to just start with something like a kayaking class or Dutch oven cooking. You know, I get a lot of ladies interested in trapping who didn't think they would be interested in trapping when they first take one of the Becoming an Outdoors Woman, who will let anybody into the class, don't have to be a woman, but you can take one of their fur sewing classes, and you can, in the price of the class, we've made beaver hats, muskrat hats, mittens, those big warm snow machine mittens that you see made out of the beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Or I show folks my sheared beaver scarf that I trapped that beaver myself, and then Al Barrett tanned it, had it sheared. It's so soft, feels like otter. It keeps me really, really warm. And people say, "Where'd you get that?" And I say, "I trapped it." They're not really ready to do that, but the Becoming an Outdoors Woman and the Alaskans Afield and Hunter Safety Ed classes offered by the Department of Fish and Game are funded through some of these proceeds as well. It isn't just the advocacy. We've got some summer kids camps. Alaska Outdoor Council donates to the Midnight Sun Flycasters Association, as does Outdoor Heritage Foundation of Alaska. And so we take 30 kids out to the Boy Scout camp each year for a 3-day workshop. They go home with a legacy item that has our logo on it, and they learn how to fly cast, and that's something that they can do for a lifetime. We have scholarships for that. We pay for the materials so that we keep the costs down. And kids who, even if your parents don't do that type of thing, if you think that your kids want to do something like that, enroll them in one of these weekend summer camps.
How do they go about doing it?
They can go to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, mm-hmm. click the tab that says Education. It'll show you all of the courses that are offered statewide, year-round. You can see when they're coming up. There's some, you know, you can sign up for a prompt so that you get an email when it's going to be time to register. They did a Becoming an Outdoors Woman Bow Blitz last year here in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a 3-day, you could go home at night. You didn't have to go off and camp. So people who live close enough to town, you could go on Friday night, Saturday day, and Sunday. And they had archery, tracking, rifle shooting, pistol shooting, Dutch oven cooking, kayaking, water safety, how to field dress. And these are all hands-on classes with certified instructors. Coming up June 1st, they're still looking for, or the first Saturday in June, they're still looking for some volunteers to help with YHEC, Youth Hunter Education Challenge. You can get a hold of Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association. Larry Hansen is coordinating the volunteers for that. Any kid, any youth under 18 who has taken the Hunter Safety Ed class is eligible to come to, it's a competition, right? Kind of like debate team or, you know, some of the things that you have for after school classes. Mm-hmm. They can sign up for a team, they can sign up for an individual, and it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They've got some tests, they've got some, you do some practicals, shooting and archery, and on the Saturday, they've got a field test. So we all have our little stations out there over in Kramer's Field, and they have to come through with their checkoff. And it can be anything from 1 year, I stood at the station, and all I was supposed to say was, "Hi there, so see that guy in the tractor? This is his field." And if the kid said, "Oh, okay," and walked by, he said, "Hey, give me your sleet," you get a zero. If they said, "Oh, should I ask him for permission to hunt here?" Mm-hmm. Yes, you get a point. So they're learning ethics. They're learning the regulations. 1 year, my station was simply to say, "Oh, it looks like it's going to rain." It was terrible because it was a bright, sunny day. But the kids knew because they had to pack certain things for their field day. They'd say, "Oh, I have my rain gear." "Okay, good. You get 2 points." One cute little guy was about 10 years old, and he's like, "Oh, no." I said, "What?"
"I forgot my rain gear."
I said, "Do you have anything in your backpack that you would use if it was really raining right now?" And he thought and he thought. And he's like, "I have a garbage bag." I said, "Okay, pull it out. Okay, you get your 2 points."
That's great. And good for you. That's great.
It's really fun. Think about volunteering for that if you're listening. You don't have to organize the whole thing. You just mm-hmm. have to show up that Saturday and ask Larry, "What's my station? Where's my clipboard?
And what am I asking?"
Yep. You'll get your one question and a clipboard. You'll stand there for a couple hours in the morning while the kids come by. And then it's kind of fun to go to the picnic afterwards and see you know, how they did. What's neat, David, is that the top three kids who or teams who win, who get the highest scores mm-hmm. out of this three-day event, they're eligible to go to the National YHEC Youth Hunter Education Challenge and compete there.
Okay. There are steps involved. Good for them. That's a great program.
So these are just some of the educational courses that we offer to introduce folks to the outdoors.
You're all-encompassing. And tomorrow night is your big interior event.
It is.
And when you went in the Matsu was in what, October?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And we're moving to, we're alternating between Anchorage and Matsu in the fall.
Okay.
But pertinent to Fairbanks, tomorrow night is this one. And, you know, we're bringing some economic development back, and there's folks staying in hotels and buying things here locally in town. And we're at the Carlson Center giving the borough a little bit of money there, too.
Is Caleb the MC?
I do not know. You know, Carl Nelson on our board is a certified auctioneer, and he mm-hmm. has emceed before. And I'm just a vice president, and this is Caleb's. Caleb's got the whole schedule. That things are changing sometimes, as they do with the events, and I'm just going to see when I show up tomorrow.
What time do the gates open?
Gates open at 5 p.m. That's when you can get your bucket raffle tickets. You can bid on your silent auction items, bid off and bid high. And fund those education courses.
Bid your friend up.
Bid your friend up.
I'm good at that. I really enjoy doing that. That's
do you ever get stuck with seven
nope.
items you didn't want?
Nope. That's my superpower. Bidding my buddies up. It's my superpower.
I really love the hands-on silent auction where you can kind of prance around the room, see who's been eyeing you. Mm-hmm. Then you, one of my stealth moves is find a friend and say, "Watch that lady over there. Because if she's made me, then I'll go be far away and say, 'Hey, David, here's my pen.
Yep.
Go bid me up on this item while she's watching me.'"
Oh, man.
But you can get some great prizes tomorrow. Lots of firearms, lots of machines.
And then next weekend is the next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe, is the Open North American.
It is.
Yeah.
And the Alaska Trappers Association Trappers Fling. That one's always a good time, but they are sold out. They'll be at the West Mark, and they only had room for 300 people.
You know, when March hits, you know, that second half of February, but when March hits, everything starts happening. I mean, summer, you know.
Because we've all got spring fever, and
I
the
know,
light's coming back.
And then October, November hit, we all go hibernate because we've had 6 months of doing everything every weekend.
Right.
Nonstop.
High pow's the marker for that, right? After
yeah.
high pow, we hibernate.
Yes.
And then we come out when the quest starts.
Yep. Exactly right. That's our shutdown time. You take off for a few weeks out of the winter. You do those things that you just need to shut down and relax and enjoy. What fun things you got planned for March other than tomorrow night?
Well, March for me, like I've said before, is ice fishing season. And if you're out there, if you don't have your own hut, that's okay. You can rent one from Department of Natural Resources down at Birch Lake. Those things have a little wood stove in them. They've got some wood. Remember to bring a lantern because they're dark in there. But one of my tips for that is try to rent an ice house on a Sunday that you can see on the website has already been rented on a Saturday. It's easier to drill the holes.
Makes sense. Where's your favorite place to go ice fishing at?
I like going to Birch Lake, but, you know, we've got an airplane, so we've got a couple other
locations.
Yeah.
Ween Lake, Dune Lake, things like that.
Quit giving my spots away.
Sorry, I didn't know they were your spots by now. But we all do now.
And the Twin Lakes out there. Yeah, we like to go out that direction. But Paul likes to go in the wet in later in March. I like using the ice houses while it's still kind of cold and you can drive out on Birch Lake. He likes to go when it's a little warmer and not use an ice house.
My favorite month is March and September, because in both months, you know, you're going into the fall and you might have a nice warm day in the mid-60s and a cool evening in the high 30s in September. And then in March, you might have a cool evening in the low 20s and a beautiful day in the high 30s.
And we don't have the bugs.
And you don't have the bugs, and you have the sun and the blue skies. That spring blue crispness. So it's And we're coming into the middle of March. And then I think it is on Sunday we spring forward with our clocks.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Can we just stop doing that?
You know what I'm going to like about that? My dog. Instead of trying to wake me up at 5, he's not going to realize that it's now 6. So I get that extra hour of sleep. Because, you know, when you fall backwards, instead of getting up at 5, he's getting me up at 4.
Right,
he's like,
right,
come
right.
What
do you have?
I've got a Dalmatian.
You do?
Yeah.
I did not know that. My cousins were firefighters and always had Dalmatians.
Great dogs. Great dogs. Great personalities.
Is he black and white or is he chocolate?
He's black and white. Yeah, he's a great markings. He's about a 55-pound male and just great personality. And if you ever check out my Facebook, you're going to see no politics, but you're going to see a Dalmatian and food. Those are the photos I put on. It's all about him and food, so.
Well, we'll have to have a whole segment just on dogs, maybe get one of the dog trainers on here.
Do you have a dog?
Yes, we've got a rescued wire-haired pointing griffon from Bethel, he loves to go ice fishing.
Wow.
You pull a fish out of that hole, and then he looks at you and says, do it again. There's another one down there. He clears the ice out of the hole for us. I want to thank you for having us on today talk about the banquet and what Alaska Outdoor Council does. Always appreciate it, David.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have you on again, and you're sometimes a guest host for me now, so I really appreciate that. You're having a great event tomorrow night in Fairbanks, if you can. There's a few available tickets that you can still buy.
For the banquet, can still definitely buy raffle tickets and win some of those prizes.
And that's at AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.org.
Correct.
It's the website, and that's where you go to get a ticket to tomorrow night's incredible gathering. And that's the best description I can give it, with everything that you have here, everything that a person can look at, buy, participate in. It's going to be a good night for Fairbanks. It really is. So
winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You listen to too much Guy Fieri. Oh, boy. So Fairbanks, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. Enjoy it. Get out there. Tomorrow morning, starting at 10 o'clock, you have on KFAR a litany of shows, including from 1 to 1:30, my Fairbanks Foodie Show. And I'm bringing you through two meals that I made last Saturday and Sunday. One's an Italian, wonderful, incredible pasta. And the other is making an incredible double pork chop that I seared, then I put in the oven. So it was a great meal. And if you want to learn how to do it, listen tomorrow from 1 to 1:30 on KFAR, Fairbanks Foodies, and I will see you on Monday.